A new report on the attitudes and conduct of U.S. high school students finds alarming rates of stealing, lying, and cheating. And it's getting worse. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 10 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Tuesday, December the 2nd. We will talk about the 2008 report card on the ethics of American youth, which you may have read about yesterday in a front-page story in the Wisconsin State Journal and in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Our guest is the author of the report, Michael Josephson, founder and CEO of the Josephson Institute of Ethics, a nonpartisan nonprofit group which creates and administers the Character Counts Coalition, which is a partnership of organizations committed to improving the ethics of America's young people through character education. Michael Josephson joins us from Southern California. Very good morning to you. Early good morning to you, that is.
It is early, but you do it for your mission.
Well, thank you very much for being with us. Tell us briefly how you found out that so many high school students were cheating, lying, and stealing.
Well, we've been doing this major national survey since 1992, every 2 years. So as a matter of course, we do the survey. Of course, we try to ask the questions that are relevant to what kind of citizens they're going to be, what kind of contributions are they going to make, what they add to the workforce eventually. That's the goal of the national study. And what is so chilling about this is not simply that 64% cheated on an exam. Kids always cheat, but that's an awfully high number. But even more chilling to me was that 30% had stolen something from a store in the past year. And when you look at it by gender breakdown, it was 35% of the males, way more than one in three, who stole something, and 26% of the females. And you think of them as your coworkers or your employees or, frankly, the people who are shopping your stores. That's awfully worrisome.
Yeah, and you say that these high numbers are not only alarming, they are getting worse. This is worse than the last time you did this survey.
It's worse than we did the last survey by anywhere from 2 to 4%, which is significant, especially since the margin of error in this survey is plus or minus 1%. But I think even more serious is the fact that for the last decade, statistics have been hovering in this area, even though they're trending upward. And yet nothing serious is done about it. It reminds me of allowing the bridges and the tunnels and all the infrastructure of the United States to go unrepaired in the hope nothing bad will happen. Well, our moral infrastructure is vital. And if we think we've already seen bad things with Enron and now the mortgage crisis and all the various kinds of scandals, you've got to ask yourself, how are things going to get better if we're not training and teaching our children to do the right thing, even under pressure?
Why is the moral infrastructure crumbling so?
I think it's largely because, as adults, we've created almost a free crime zone. The fact of the matter is that if you look at it carefully, even things such as shoplifting, which is a crime, and cheating, which is not a crime, but certainly an academic sin of sorts. The fact of the matter is we look the other way. That very few get caught. Those who do get caught don't get punished. Take cheating, for example. We've been publishing for the last 12 years that the cheating rates have been well over 50%. That means over half of the students admit they cheated, not ever, and not just in homework, but on exams in the past year. And yet, virtually no high school that we know of has made a significant concerted effort to deal with it. And one of the tests would be is if you would ask some of the high schools in Wisconsin, for example, how many disciplinary actions did they have based on cheating in the last year? My bet would be it would be less than 10.
Why are they turning the other cheek to this?
In part because they're very busy. In fairness, schools are really overloaded. No Child Left Behind has given them some major tasks of focusing on test results and the like, in part because the parents haven't been demanding. If test scores stay up and go up, everybody seems to be happy, even if it's a fiction and a fraud, in part because those schools where occasionally they do deal with cheating, instead of the parents thanking them for the information and realizing that it's a common goal to help the child build good values, they're more likely to sue the school or threaten the school or beg the school to give another chance to the kid. In other words, there seems to be very little energy behind anything even close to moral outrage that these bad things are happening. And yet, this is the next generation of nuclear inspectors and mortgage brokers and politicians and police officers.
We are talking with Michael Josephson, founder and CEO of the Josephson Institute and author of the 2008 report card on the ethics of American youth. And kids today are not getting high marks for ethics. Big numbers are admitting to cheating, lying, and stealing in the past year, and the numbers are getting worse. Why is this? What does it say about us? What should be done about the problem? We welcome your thoughts and your reactions for our guest at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up later this afternoon, it's At Issue with Ben Marins. Ben talks with a guest about the worldwide shortage of healthy infants and toddlers for adoption. And his guest says many babies available for international adoption may not be orphans at all. You can learn more about this after 5 this afternoon on At Issue with Ben Marins. You can learn more about the ethics and morals of today's youth by staying with us this hour. We are talking about a new report that finds a large number of high schoolers in this country admit to cheating, lying, and stealing. Our guest is the author of the 2008 report card on the ethics of American youth, Michael Josephson, and we welcome your calls at 1-800-642-1234, or you can also send an email to talk@WPR.org. Well, we have lines full right now, so why don't we go to the phones right away and take our first caller, who is Jean in Madison. Hi, Jean, you're on the air.
Yeah, good morning, and there are so many things to say. It's overwhelming. You know, monkey see, monkey do. Do a report on the ethics of adults. We have had just 8 years worth of lying, cheating, and stealing, and we might be heading for a depression. You're worried about the next generation. What are we going to do about this generation of adults? We don't punish people who break their fiduciary responsibility. I could go on and on and on. The students are merely following the examples of their elders.
Let's get a reaction from our guest, Michael Josephson. Is that right?
Well, there's no question about it that this is an adult product. I mean, we aren't claiming that youth is moral mutants, that somehow these kids are different than any other generation in terms of their capacity to make decisions about right and wrong, but they have been raised differently. And that's not only in what they see and the examples they have, but also in the fact that there seems to be this indifference of the adult generation. So I don't want to let the adult generation off the hook, as your caller doesn't. But at the same token, we certainly can't throw up our hands and say they have no choice. These are still young people who can make choices about what they do and not. And I am more critical about their schools and their coaches and their parents who aren't making a demand to say all of these bad examples we're talking about are exactly evidence of the cost of a morality that doesn't hold people accountable. So instead of just trying to decide who should get the bigger piece of the blame, we should be saying each segment that we can work on, we ought to work on. And one that we can identify is youth. And there are character education programs, there are interventions. We have a website, charactercounts.org, that has all kinds of advice and ways for parents and to schools to tackle this problem. So I don't want to let the adults off the hook, but I also don't want to minimize the fact that this is a growing problem that will have an enormous impact in the future if we don't deal with it.
Yeah, the character counts program that you advocate, this is some sort of curriculum in the schools?
Well, it's not a curriculum. It's what we call a framework. There's over 7 million kids involved in it around the country. It's a nonpartisan program built upon just core ethical values. And what it really does is give permission to the schools, and by the way, also sports organizations and youth groups, to just begin to be focused and proactive about building these six core values, which are trustworthiness, respect, responsibility, fairness, caring, and citizenship. And it's only one of many character education theories. It's the largest. But we're not merely advocating our particular approach to character education. We're advocating that kids do not develop character spontaneously. And if, to the extent that they're developing it naturally, they're picking up all the negative vibes in society as well as positive ones. And we have to make proactive choices about helping young people form the good values that will help them sustain themselves in a life that's full of temptation and pressures.
Thanks to Gene for the call. Now we go to John in Round Lake, Illinois. Hi, John. You're on the air.
Hello. Thank you. My question is about the numbers of the kids you're talking about. I've noticed out here, I'm in the country, you know, a bit suburbs, and we're starting to get a lot of gangs in the area. And, you know, that's in the schools, too. Now, is this driven by that type of problem, you know, with the gangs? So you got more criminal, or not criminal, but, you know, bad activity?
All right, thanks, John. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about the demographics of who you surveyed.
Well, first of all, we really were very self-conscious, and that's why the sample is just under 30,000 people. So it does include urban, rural, private schools, public schools. I think you don't want to attribute the gang activity, for instance, to exactly the same thing that's causing a lack of integrity. But the same kind of factors are at play. For instance, one of the things we found is there's far less differential among different areas of the country, where you used to see more significant differences between rural and urban and maybe the Northeast versus the Midwest. There are still some differences, but we have a national morality now with Facebook, with MTV, with the Internet. You don't see those differences as much as you used to. So if gangs are beginning to form in places other than the traditional urban poor, it's because kids have a natural inclination to want to do that kind of thing, and adults aren't at the switch.
You did find some differences, or certainly between gender there were differences. Boys were more likely to participate in this dishonest behavior than girls?
Yes, and interestingly, in the cheating area was one of the areas where region did in fact make a difference. The Midwest, kids in the Midwest cheated considerably less than kids in the Northeast or Southeast, interestingly enough. And so the fact is, region is still relevant. But the most relevant thing, I mean, we talked about role models, one of your callers, for example. To be sure, there are plenty of people in the news that emphasize the worst part of character. But there are also a great many heroes. I mean, CNN just did a major thing on heroes, wonderful people who are doing wonderful things. The role models that make the most difference in a child's life are the people he or she knows. And if they are actively involved, their coaches, their parents, their grandparents, some adult who makes a difference to that child, and if they become attentive to the values, to what they think about honesty or dishonesty or treating people with respect and bullying, that's when you see the differences.
And how big of a difference was there between public schools and religious schools?
It depended on the kind of question. Interestingly enough, again, in the cheating area, by and large, the private schools did better. Now, that's partly because they're much smaller and they're more attentive to it. But even then, the cheating rate was half. But in most other questions, for instance, even in the theft question, the differential was only a few percent. So we know kids are not stealing just because they need to or they have to. We're finding affluent kids are stealing almost at the same rate as kids who have no money at all. It's an entitlement mentality. It's getting away with it. A simple rule of thumb we use is whatever you allow, you encourage. And we just haven't taken this seriously enough.
You specifically asked, did you steal something from a store in the past year? That was one of your questions.
Exactly. In other words, to avoid the notion of just, did you steal anything? We also asked, did you steal something from a friend or a relative? 23% said they stole something from a relative, and 20% stole something from a friend. A friend. Yeah. With friends like that, you don't need enemies.
And when you asked about lying, I guess I wasn't totally shocked by the huge number of kids who admitted lying to parents. Maybe I should have been. 80% said they lied to parents. But then there were others who admitted lying just to save money.
That's the point about this, is some of this is not shocking, and some of this relates to human nature and kids. We all can identify, whatever generation we're from, that these behaviors had their roots in every generation. The issue is the numbers, and the issue is the context. I agree with you entirely. Lying to parents, I didn't know anybody who didn't lie to their parents occasionally when I was growing up. That's something that maybe is part of it. We don't know how many times and about what. But that's why when you say lying to save money, that's a different kind of act, because that's already criminal. Or, again, while the cheating rates have, in fact, caused a great deal of attention as I've done a lot of these interviews, I am far more shocked and concerned about the theft rates. There are all kinds of ways that you can try to, oh, kids don't take school seriously, it's gamesmanship. I mean, gosh, we've talked to a lot of teachers and principals who aren't concerned about the cheating rate. But nobody can doubt that it's both wrong and socially dangerous if kids decide they can just take things whenever they want to. Now, a piece of that, too, is that it's, you know, where did they cut their teeth? They started by copying software and copying records and they don't call them records anymore, sorry, music off the Internet. My generation couldn't even do that, but it kind of predisposes you to take stuff when you want it.
John in Madison is our next caller. Hi, John.
Hi. Well, my attitude is the delayed morality in adolescence is due to the failure of myelinization of the brain. This has been proven over and over again over the last 20 years. You're not fully myelinated until you reach ages 21 to 23. And in the younger people, especially their prefrontal lobes, which are the judgment and logic centers, they're not fully myelinated until that time. And this is why you have a delay in the formation of moral rules for the individual.
Yeah, so what's your
point, John? If you look at the crime victimization survey and the FBI Uniform Crime Report for over the last 20 years, serious adult crime has been consistently coming down. The rates of adult antisocial personality disorder are stable, 3% of males, 1% of females. If you look at conduct disorder in adolescence, that's also stable. It's about 4% in females and about 8% in males. I would say if you're seeing some fluctuations in your survey, look to your survey techniques, data collection, questions, all the rest of it. I don't see any indication that this society is changing.
All right. Thanks very much, John.
The caller may know about some of the science of the brain, has not spent as much time reading the surveys and the conduct. The National Centers for Disease Control, for instance, is reporting that 14% of high school girls say that they have been forced to have sex in the last year. Now, whether that's a lot more or not than in the past, their data show that it's increased. The fact of the matter is it's too much. The thrust of the caller's comment is we need to expect this. These kids can't make moral judgments.
Yeah.
That's simply not true.
We need
they can make many moral judgments.
I need to jump in because we are at news time. We are at news time, and we will talk more about this after the news. More than half of today's high school students say they have cheated on a test in the past year. 25% confessed to stealing from a store, and more than 80% said they lie to their parents. Our guests compiled these numbers, and many more, in a survey of nearly 30,000 U.S. high school students and just issued the 2008 report card on the ethics of American youth. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, and we're welcoming your reactions, questions, and suggestions about why the ethics of kids today are so shaky and why they appear to be getting worse and what this says about our future. Is there any way to fix what our guest calls the crumbling moral infrastructure? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Michael Josephson is the founder and CEO of the Josephson Institute. He is the author of the 2000 Ethics Report Card and an advocate for more character education for American youth. And just before news time, Michael Josephson, we heard from a caller who was talking about the science of the brain. His primary point, I think, was to say that kids' brains aren't fully functioning or formed when they're high schoolers, but by the time we're adults, we know right from wrong, and maybe we're too worried about these numbers saying that kids are lying and cheating and stealing. They'll get it right when they're adults.
Well, that's not exactly what the research shows. The research does show that the adolescent brain is not fully developed, and that there are aspects of judgment that are going to be affected, and that's the concept we call maturity and wisdom. And so it's not the question of whether we expect children or even adolescents to reason at exactly the same level as adults, but the understanding that morality is created very early in life, and it does develop. I mean, studies by Kohlberg and Nell Noddings and a number of other people have shown that there is a developmental quality to moral reasoning. And certainly the level of moral reasoning we're talking about is not cheating and stealing, is not sophisticated moral reasoning. And so my only objection was sort of the tone of the call was this kind of disdainful academic dismissal of the fact that we have very conclusive evidence that the behavior patterns of young people are, one, not acceptable, and two, certainly over the decade, trending in the wrong direction. I was an academic. I was a law professor for 20 years. I have nothing against the academic approach, but when it becomes just an apology for things that we ought to be concerned about, I am concerned.
Yeah, so how concerned are you? How concerned should we all be?
In the same way that we ought to be concerned about the fact that we just know that our bridges and our tunnels are we're not paying enough attention to them. Look, Enron is the creation of choices of individual people they made. And these choices departed further and further away from a common sense of honorable conduct and morality. The kind of conduct that we saw in the mortgage industry, which was not necessarily illegal, but clearly was improper in the sense of being irresponsible and in some cases deceptive, are the kinds of things you see when people are not anchored to common concepts of integrity. And what this is about, and by the way, when I favor character education, I'm not merely talking about schools. I'm mm-hmm. talking about parents being a little more attentive, a little more thoughtful. There are four elements to instilling values, and we use an acronym called TEAM, which is teach, enforce, advocate, and model. All four of those are important.
Let's take another call. Derek in Round Lake, Illinois, is with us now. Hi, Derek. You're on the air.
Good morning. Thank you very much for the report, Professor Josephson. I think it's something which is very important for us to really understand.
Thank you.
In my 40 years, I have had a chance to live in the European Union as well as in Japan. And I have a really interesting example of the comparative studies, how the society really works here. I think that one of the most instrumental points, what you're really seeing is the symptoms of it is internalization of the corporate structure of this very highly functional autism perpetrated by corporations into creating this own ideal of winning at any cost and making the numbers. And this is really something which is being internalized by the American society. That's why you have the problems that you have. And I'll give you an example. Past 8 years, I have taken out over 50 corporations for consumer fraud to court. I have dealt with a lot of different attorneys, but not for the money, but just for simple apology, fixing what was wrong, and promised that they would not do it again. And the gambit of issues actually right into it, specifically selling expired foods, expired products, what have you, where the attorneys representing the corporations would simply say, well, this is not illegal. You know, it's really something that I think has to really be addressed on a more of a legal and administrative way the country is really run.
All right. Thanks, Derek. Michael Josephson, your reaction to that?
Well, I think there are a lot of factors that contribute to this psychology. One might be this kind of corporatization as described, but they're good corporations and they're bad corporations. The fact of the matter is there's also this notion of rugged individualism taken too far, which turns out to be selfishism. It's a kind of me first thing. I think sports have had an enormous impact on our culture, and I'm a big sports fan. I'm not against sports at all. But if you look at some of the behaviors, the win-at-any-cost kinds of behaviors that you'll see, a great football coach like Bill Belichick, who was coaching one of the finest football teams in decades, who still thought it was necessary or at least acceptable to cheat by taking illegal videotapes. It's just a mentality of pushing the line. I think that's the thing that scares me, is this mentality of get away with whatever you can, that if you're not caught, it's not really wrong. And today, so much havoc can be done in private. The Internet allows people to do and say things that didn't exist before. We need values. And whether or not corporations are part of the negatives or music is part of it or sports, the answer is probably all of those things can contribute. But we who have something to say about the values of young people, the teachers, the coaches, the parents, can be more proactive and attentive, and it will make a difference.
Do you, Michael Josephson, have any idea if other countries, the youth in other countries, are more ethical than U.S. teens?
You know, we don't, and we've looked for it. We've done whatever research we can. Of course, we're researching in English to try to find out what's been done, but with the Google, and it just seems like the other countries aren't as concerned with these issues. That doesn't mean they don't exist. Like, we really did look to see, well, what are the studies in Europe, or what are the studies in Asia on these same kinds of behaviors? And at least we haven't been able to find them at all. And so maybe it's a tribute to us that at least we worry about this kind of thing. Americans for a long time have talked about the American way, truth, justice in the American way. But we certainly know that a lot of these behavior patterns manifest themselves globally. We know in Asia there are cheating scandals that occur all the time with regard to examinations and the like. So I don't have any reason to believe that American youth is any worse than any other youth, but we don't have any studies of that.
Our next caller is Ken in Milton. Hi, Ken. You're on the air.
Hello. My question is, compared to what other group are we talking about? I know that this problem has been talked about for the last couple thousand years. I mean, the previous generation just going to hell in a handbasket. I mean, compared, when was the last survey taken, and who let you in the door to do this? Because I'm sure the teachers don't want people to know that this is going on.
Well, hold on, Ken. We talked briefly in the beginning. You do this every couple of years?
Every 2 years. It's a biennial survey.
And you've been doing it for about a decade?
Yeah, a little more than that. We started in 1992.
Yeah, and this is something that the schools participate in, saying, sure, come on in.
In order to make the statistic validity, we invite random schools. We select them from a list from the Department of Education, invite them to participate, and we keep inviting until we have the right mix in terms of the public versus private, in terms of region and the like. But randomness is a very critical part of any kind of good statistical study. But the caller is right. There are an awful lot of schools that don't want this. You could give it away for free and say, we'll do a survey and give you a report and tell you how you're doing. And I dare say probably 2/3 said, we don't want to have this information.
Yeah,
but I think your caller made another point that's both helpful but also a little dangerous, and that is people have been complaining about the ethics of youth from time immemorial, and that's absolutely true. And that doesn't mean things haven't changed. The fact of the matter is it depends on what you're complaining about. But there is no question but that kids cheat a lot more now than they did. Now I'm 65, so my day is way back in the 60s. There were kids who cheated, but it was a rarity as in comparison to now.
Our guest is Michael Josephson. He is founder and CEO of the Josephson Institute and author of the 2008 report card on the ethics of American youth. We are talking about why so many kids today admit to lying, cheating, and stealing in the survey that was recently conducted by our guest this hour. And we're talking about what should be done about this problem. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, former Republican presidential candidate Mike Huckabee joins us to talk about the future of the GOP. Does it include him running for president again? We'll ask him coming up after 7 o'clock. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 12 minutes before 7 o'clock. And for the rest of this hour, we talk about the declining ethics of high school students, according to the just-released 2008 report card on the ethics of American youth, which found the levels of cheating, lying, and stealing are alarming and getting worse. Our guest is Michael Josephson. He is founder and CEO of the Josephson Institute and the author of this report card. And our next caller is Joe in Neenah. Hi, Joe. You're on the air.
Hello. My first point is to bring up the undeniable fact that abuse, whether sexual or physical, in our country is an extremely strong contributor to children not being able to set healthy boundaries and make healthy decisions. And my second point is that in my workplace in manufacturing, and when I talk to other people in the same areas industry, there is a common theme that is consistent with what you're speaking of with children, only we're talking about adults. And I believe that what is most often missed is that the people who have the power to change the individuals who are not behaving as, quote, they should, don't have the time, don't believe they have the time, don't give the energy to do so, and the organizations turn a blind eye, like your schools, where it's so much work they don't want to know. They just keep saying people should be doing what they're told,
yeah,
and people don't.
You're talking about the workplace, Joe, not just the schools. That's what your point is. All right, Michael Josephson.
Well, first of all, one cannot deny that abuse, whether it's physical or emotional, is going to have impact on choices. But this study goes so far beyond that, because certainly there's no evidence that all of these children, or even the vast majority of them, were abused in some kind of way. This is more a question of values. That we are seeing this in adult world is not a surprise. We're not saying that children have invented this. Quite the contrary. We are saying that it is growing incrementally, precisely because each subsequent generation of adults themselves are being more casual about some of these things. And I think your caller is quite right that a lot of times the organizations, whether they be the schools or the businesses, mm-hmm, are not paying attention to this. For instance, on your performance review, there may be things like diligence and effort and creativity, which are valid subjective points, but there's not integrity or treating coworkers with respect. We're not viewing these kinds of characteristics to be on the same par with things that bear on competency. Yet in the workplace, we think character is a key element of competency. We're not trying to create a world of finger-wagging moralists where everybody's making moral judgments on everything or has some kind of linear view of everybody has to think the same. We're talking about fundamental things like trustworthiness and respect and responsibility and accountability. And in this very complicated world, it needs more attention, not less.
We have an email from a listener in Eau Claire. Jean writes, I have three children who are not children anymore. The youngest is 18. And I hate to say this, but a huge part of the problem is the parents. I am the last person to want to blame myself, but the truth is my children were in trouble as teens and now seem to lack many things, such as decent moral judgment and a work ethic. The one thing that we as parents in this give everything to our kids' society, this has made the kids believe that they should have everything right away and not have to work hard for it anymore. Part of the problem, Michael Josephson?
Absolutely. We have, in fact, created an entitlement mentality among children. And you can't blame the children for that. They think the way that they were brought up to think, and they do think that they're entitled to whatever it is they want. That's part of what's behind the theft rate. They just take it if they want it. But also, a piece of that has been, to circle around to my opening point, we have been too lax at imposing consequences. We're so smart, we can explain everything. We have excuses. We have explanations. We understand that kids are under pressure. We understand that they have stress. We understand that they have temptations that previous generations didn't have. I agree with all of that. But that doesn't dispense with the need for good moral judgment and character. And again, if people would visit the website, charactercounts.org, they'll find that we have to wrestle with these issues in a real world. We're not going to take them away from music and take them away from Facebook and take them away from other things that could lead them astray. We want to teach them the good moral judgment. I have five children myself, four of whom are still school age. They're girls ages 10 through 14. And we're working very hard to give them the values to make the judgments that they need to make.
Let's take another caller. Our next caller is Carrie in Augusta. Hi, Carrie. You're on the air.
Hi. Good morning. I'm just wondering if what our definition of success in current society has to do with this. You know, it's kind of the better, bigger, more. The Wall Street meltdown, you know, was kind of the better, bigger, more. And if that has to do also with part of this. Now, I also agree with everything I've heard. As a parent, I step up and say, wow, could have done this better, should have done this better, can continue to do this better. And yet I also really struggled with, I have a 20-year-old, during his school years, having to help him redefine success from sports, from academics, from culture, everything, and keep him kind of on track with that true north. What is true north for him?
Michael, well, Joseph, as I say, I'm 65, and so I've grown up through quite a few decades, and I've never known a time where people didn't view success largely in terms of winning, which is not necessarily the healthiest thing. The difference is not, in my opinion, that we're trying to be more successful than ever before. It's that we're less concerned with the ground rules of pursuing that. Our sports program, for instance, is called Pursuing Victory with Honor. And the idea is not that you want to win less, but that you don't even define it as winning if you don't do it honorably. So I think it's more the atrophying of the moral sensibilities rather than the expansion of the other more materialistic or personal prestige things. Sure, I think it would be nice if we could develop well-rounded children who just believed it isn't how much they earn or what car they drive that's important. But the fact of the matter is that's going to be affected by a lot of social factors. The key is to install a moral compass that provides certain kind of inviolable values that say, all right, I want to be successful, and I want the extra car if that's what you want, and I want to win the game, but I also want to be a decent and good person. That's what we need to work more on.
Thank you, Carrie. Stephen Townstock, hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I guess I don't have so much a question. It's just sort of, kind of a comment. I'm kind of an amateur history buff, and I've just noticed, you know, in the studies over the years that the decline of the morals and the youth seem to bring on the beginning of the decline of many an empire. And this study, when I hear what he's talking about, it really concerns me because this always seems to be an indicator of a sickening society.
Ooh,
I just wondered if the guest had any comments on that.
Decline of our society, Michael Josephson?
Well, you know, it's to me, maybe the academic in me says it's a mixed bag. We're far better as a society in so many ways than we've ever been before. That we could elect a black president is just of staggering historical significance. I think there are many areas in which we are a more ethical, more humane society than any in the history of time. But on this issue of accountability and integrity, there's a definite weak spot. I don't see the total unraveling of civilization, but what I see is this kind of lack of attentiveness to the kinds of core values that can sustain individuals in a society.
So in our final minute, what would you like to see happen as a result of your report card?
Well, first, I'd like to see people use their common sense and look around and say, look, is shoplifting really a problem? Is cheating really a problem? Is it likely to carry over when young people enter the workplace, when they become an authority? Do we really think people can do anything about it? Look at the difference a great coach has on his or her athletes versus a coach who's either indifferent or even a negative impact. Great parents are attentive, involved parents. Great coaches are attentive, involved. We need to encourage and hire people and train them to become attentive and involved, and we can make this stuff better. This isn't like Katrina where we're helpless. This hurricane is of our own making, and we can solve the problem.
Thank you so much for being with us, especially for getting up so early on your side of town.
Well, I hope it was useful, and thank you for the time.
It was very interesting. Thanks a lot. Michael Josephson, founder and CEO of the Josephson Institute, author of the 2008 report card on the ethics of American youth. Thanks to Rob Ferret for producing this hour. Thanks to Bill Martins and Cynthia Schuster for on-air production and direction. Thank you for listening and for calling in. Stay tuned. There's much more to come. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.